Hello, Advancement, and welcome to episode 2 of our podcast, which we're calling, absent a new suggestion, Experience Community, powered by you, the Advancement Division. I want to thank you so much, those of you who tuned in to our last episode with Adele Mezer. Hope you enjoyed that a lot. I know I enjoyed learning more about Adele's career and about her personally. Today, we're going to switch gears a little bit and talk to two relatively new members of our division, Jennifer Barrymore, who's actually been here almost a year. I remember you started on February 15th of 2021, and Samira Malik, who joined us much more recently than that. But they are the power duo behind our Data in Advancement initiative. So we're going to dive into that a little bit, but also hopefully, and one of my objectives with this podcast is to give all of you a chance to get to know them better. So Jennifer, who just kind of mouthed silently as we came on, I'm out of my comfort zone here. Jennifer, talk about yourself, please. I'll cue you. You joined us from Morehouse. How long had you been at Morehouse, and what enticed you to join us at Northeastern?
Thank you, Diane. Glad to be here today. I was at Morehouse for 2 years. I went to Morehouse because I had attended Tuskegee University, but I could not finish because of financial reasons. So I was always motivated that if I had the opportunity to work at a historically Black college, I wanted to do that. So it was an exciting opportunity. We made a lot of progress. And then Adele just recruited me after me telling her no 2 or 3 times. So yeah. Right.
And even though you came from Atlanta, and I kept apologizing for the weather, you remind me that you're from Michigan. So you've got worse winters there than we do here. You grew up in Michigan, or tell us a little bit more about your journey before you ended up in Atlanta.
Well, born and raised in Detroit, but I also did undergrad in Chicago. So between Michigan and Chicago, Boston is about equal, but you actually have more sunlight here than you do in Michigan. Michigan is a very gray state where it gets dark around 5. It's dreary during the day, so there's no sunlight.
Yeah. We often say too, and we talked about this with Adele, it's rare that a person thinks in high school or growing up, boy, I can't wait to work in an advancement division at a university or another nonprofit. So can you just tell us a little bit about your journey into advancement?
Okay. I started in sales and marketing for waste management, God knows, many, many years ago. And I did inside sales and lead generation. And from there, I saw an opportunity to work at a nonprofit. I worked at 2 volunteer health organizations, Alzheimer's and American Diabetes Association, and it was still lead generation. It was the same practices, but applying it for philanthropic missions. And that motivated me. It was something I wanted to give back. And from there, I did research. I started as a prospect researcher, and I hated writing bios. So I started putting the data. I was like, if we just put the data in the system, then we can pull it out, and I would get these canned reports, and I would just, the information would be available. So I got my team not to do bios anymore, where we just started putting summaries inside the system so you could pull your own report. So that's how I wound up really getting into the data. Mm-hmm. And once I got that bug, it just kind of motivated me just to kind of look at it for all strategies. And I realized it makes sense to have more information available.
Great. And we're going to dive into that more in a minute. But Samira, I want to ask you the same question. You came to us from across the river, right?
I came from Lincoln University in Pennsylvania. So I worked for, which is the first degree granting HBCU, but similar to Jennifer, I was working in with the University of Maryland and then worked at NPR. But I did my freshman year at Howard and was unable to finish. And so when I had the opportunity to work, get into higher education, particularly at HBCU, because I knew the different struggles that we had in trying to get educated, that I jumped at the opportunity.
And share a little bit about, you know, why advancement? I'm sure there were a lot of career opportunities that were available, and especially this area of advancement resources, the, you know, all the things you do to empower and enable the fundraisers to do their work.
I fell into advancement actually by accident. I had a temp job, was doing some administrative work, that rolled into me managing the office of the president at a small nonprofit in D.C. And he had a portfolio, so assisting through managing his office, started doing some, you know, management of some of the prospects with him. Knew I didn't want to get into fundraising because I was like, I don't want to ask people for money. And had a mentor who said, there's a whole business side to fundraising. Mm-hmm. There's another landscape. And so through mentorship, I learned that the advancement operations existed and then kind of dived into that.
Mm-hmm. So you worked at NPR, I saw.
Yes.
And you just mentioned, does this setup remind you of NPR?
It does. It does remind me of NPR. We're having podcasts going on, you know, see some of the Tiny Desk concerts. So absolutely.
After this podcast, maybe that's the next thing we could do. Go to Jeb and say we need the Tiny Desk concert. So next, I'm sure he will love that. So as we always talk about, we all have our own kind of way we find into this work. But I think both of you would probably say that one of the things you enjoy most or that's most rewarding is you're kind of pushing into the new frontier of how data drives what has traditionally been, you know, in our minds, a very relationship-based business. So I don't think those two things are they're not antithetical. They're not in competition with one another, to be data-driven, to be relationship-driven. So Jennifer, why don't I start with you and mm-hmm. just, you know, in the old school, which I come from, you know, we used to think about if you didn't handwrite a note to your prospect, it wasn't really good. If you didn't sort of go to a volunteer and go through a handwritten list of all the people who might live on that block, you know, then you weren't really doing your job. But the world has changed, and data really can I hate to overuse this word, empower what we do. So can you tell us a little bit more about where is this all headed? Where are we going in the future? Are we going to be the Amazon of fundraising?
You know, that's the goal. That is really the long-term goal. But, you know, I came in on the tail end of that. So it was the idea of how do we become more efficient? And I looked at what was happening in industry. And you looking at all this information, identify the right customers, the right prospects for a company. Why aren't we doing that as an individual? Just literally working in Chicago, there were people who lived on Michigan Avenue. And my question was, why aren't we talking to them? Because of the zip code, I knew they had money. So that became a question of how do we apply those same questions, who knows whom, and do that through technology instead of me sitting with you and doing a peer screening list or pulling together spreadsheet after spreadsheet. So if you look at the way technology has evolved, it allows for more efficiency, analytics to kind of look at some of the trends that are happening to segment, but also to get that information, you have to do the quality work to get the information in to get quality information out. So mm-hmm. they have to say garbage in, garbage out, right?
Right.
So now you look at the technology that has push information accessible on your cell phone. There's a lot of information where we don't have to say, Diane, can you get that call report in the system? You can actually talk to your phone on some of the upcoming technology we hope to have and say, you know, let me enter a contact report and you can just give your message. So that's where we're trying to get to make it easier for you all so that you all can focus on the relationship management, which is the most important piece of what you do.
Hey, listeners, a quick interruption to promote an exciting event. This Wednesday, March 2nd, our Women Who Empower initiative will be joining forces with All Raise, Boston and Silicon Valley Bank, for a special event called Connecting Visionaries, Building Unicorns. The Connecting Visionaries event will focus on a fireside chat moderated by renowned Bloomberg reporter and anchor Janet Wu, also featuring Stefania Mallett, who's the CEO and co-founder of EasyCater, and Eileen Lee, founder of Cowboy Ventures and All Raise. Hear how they built their enterprises and the positive changes they're seeing for women as funders and founders. If you're interested in learning more about this fireside chat or ways to join, we encourage you to contact Betsy Ludwig for more information. Thanks. Back to the podcast.
Jennifer, tell me a little bit about what you think you've found as you've been doing this work. Do we have the prospects here to support Northeastern's ambitions, at least through, you know, an initial phase of initial public phase of the campaign?
I believe so. I mean, I think there's even more opportunity, and Diane knows, I'm like, you know, I want to raise the goal, but, but there are some things that we need to do, because you all have done a phenomenal job through the years of elevating what you're asking. But there, Samir's team has been rating and continues to rate. So we keep adding names to this pipeline. And so I know our colleague, Rick, is looking at some of the leadership and ways to engage. We're trying to be innovative of how to engage some of these people who have been disconnected from the university. So if we can engage them, I think there's even more opportunity, but I do believe we have the pipeline to support it.
And we often talk about, you know, the frontline fundraisers, those whose job, you know, job titles have gift officer or development officer. But really what you're talking about can involve all of us, I think. Would you agree with that? And how have you seen that work at other places you've been? How can the whole division sort of be of use here and engaging?
I think it's looking at the relationships people have, because I think the professors, the faculty knows everyone. How do we gather that information and get it in the system or to us so we can put it in the right hands? So if you know someone who is a alum or an affluent person that wants to support the university, get that information to us so that we can get in the right hands and develop a strategy. We don't want to become these people who just chase you for the dollar, but if we know they have an interest, there's a relationship, someone's willing to work with you strategically to build that and broaden that relationship, that's important as well.
So I should also say that Jennifer has been very good, and I've been less good about, you mentioned the word strategy quite a few times, and that I think is so very, very important, because when we had the discussion with Adele about how the way she approaches search being a lot more than just mass mailings or, you know, AI powered engagements or, you know, the old smiling and dialing, you know, having those strategies that we stay on, you know, day in and day out is something that you've talked to me about, you know, the real partnership in that. Share a little bit more, maybe, if you would, about where that's been really rewarding for you. Are there some gift stories or some donor stories from the work that you've done that have been really exciting, because you were just there kind of hand in hand with the gift officer along the way?
Yeah, you know, and when I was at American Diabetes Association, a friend of mine worked for Aramark. She was over marketing of their school lunch program. And we were just talking one day, like, it would make sense if we worked together. It turned into a $3 million gift, like $2 million for research, the first national sponsor of their school walk. So it was because, why aren't we working together? Because obesity, this is pre-Michelle Obama, obesity in the schools was something they were heavily looking into and doing research on. But I wound up doing donor visits, which is verified that was not my skill set. when I commend you for asking money, and I'm supposed to just sit still and not say anything. That is a lot. But, but you know, it was something exciting and rewarding to see that you never know who you know or who you come in contact with that can lead to a great opportunity for your organization.
And by the way, I think you're a great relationship person, so I'm not sure we're going to let you off the hook with that's not your skill set. So what about you, Samira?
I think that there are probably opportunities, like particularly at NPR, when we did a lot of collaborative work, right? And we're extreme partners to programming, gift officers, donor communications, that it was a whole unit's reward when the gift came in, because everybody could see their, you know, fingerprint in the success of that. Whether we got to a place of creating, you know, check-ins and being a part of meetings or our quarterly portfolio reviews, it actually ended up being easy to have conversations of pulling people away, because they knew that we were a partner that was going to give them somebody that was going to be beneficial. Mm-hmm. So seeing that success come was really rewarding.
Is there anything that you really want everyone in the division to know about your plans? I know we always use this term vision because we like to be visionary. But anything that you want to let everyone know, because of course every person's going to be listening to this, I'm sure.
Well, I'm looking forward to the partnership. I've gotten to work with a lot of my peers, and I know I'm working closely with James Pelosi for the campaign. That's been exciting, because I think it's important to show that partnership across advancement. I know she and Samira and James are going to be doing some trainings together because I think it's important. Mm-hmm. There's an art and science to this. So when you were talking about that earlier, the science is what we come up with. The data says this. The art is your magic of the relationships that you build. So it's an art and science to our success. So I'm looking forward to just building that collaborative relationship. And if there's things that our team can improve upon, I'm open to those suggestions. They may have had experiences at other organizations that they think may benefit us. I haven't worked at every institution, so we would benefit from people's mm-hmm. insight.
I'll piggyback off of what Jennifer said. When you said the art and science, that resonated because even on the data side, when we're the science and we give information, I feel like the gift officers hold the key. The data is just the written word. There may be something that you know personally because you're talking to the human being that tells us something different than what we presented. So knowing that we're partners, the same way we feel like we can probably educate and contribute, that's a reversal as well. You can come back and help educate and contribute with us. So I look forward to that partnership.
Hi, listeners. This Thursday, March 3rd, Women Who Empower will be collaborating with the Boston Ballet for a very special event. You're invited to the opening night of the ballet's Choreograph Her, a female-led program celebrating the work of five innovative women. This event's a great opportunity to meet with key members of our community, including students, alumni, and prospects local to the Boston area. If you'd like to join, please contact Carolyn Jasinski, Kathleen Holtz, or Amelia Giordano for more information. Thanks. Back to the podcast.
We joked at the beginning of this about, you know, is there, you know, will we wake up tomorrow with the same number of campuses we have today? And Jennifer will often sort of give me a look, especially if it's a contemplated campus in another country. But, Jennifer, can you just talk a little bit about some of the challenges? It's all wonderful to talk about, you know, a global system, but then when you actually talk about integration, we're dealing with a lot of regulatory things, correct? Whether right. it's in the UK or Canada,
right.
Looking at, you know, however many tens of thousands of records that maybe those Mills College,
right.
now Mills at Northeastern. How do you think about that? Is that, you know, the future of higher ed, and so it's exciting, or is it sort of like, let's worry about that tomorrow?
Well, I've been blessed with great staff. I have another colleague who's overseeing the Mills integration, so thank you. I'm happy for that. But, I mean, the NCH was challenging. It's in our system now. Mm-hmm. But is it in the system the way we are? No, because the GDPR requirements prohibit certain information unless they opt in to give you this information. So I think that's something we have to think about, what the expectation is, what we acquire from these other institutions, instead of just thinking it's going to look the same. Mm-hmm. And so if we level set the expectations of what happens as we grow globally, and maybe we have to have a different strategy. And you and I have spoken before, do I have to look at having a researcher over there that mm-hmm. understands these rules and fundraising guidelines better than we do? So I just think as we grow, we're going to have to just make some different decisions mm-hmm. And develop different strategies for different markets.
Samira, is that something that was a piece of what interested you in coming to Northeastern, or is it a, oh my gosh, what did I get myself into?
It was both. It was like exciting and, oh my God, did I? But I like a challenge. So I said, let's do it.
Right. So you're both relatively new to Boston. Can you share with us, you know, some favorite things you've discovered, whether it's, you know, I know it's hard during a pandemic to talk about, you know, favorite restaurants or place to hang out, but is there anything you've discovered that is something you just love about the city?
I didn't realize how beautiful Massachusetts is. I went to the Berkshires and went hiking. Stunning views. There's a lot of water. I found myself on a different bridge or tunnel every time. I think I found a new one again. My GPS just kind of steered me the wrong way. So but that's what I love, because I did get a condo where I have a view of the water, which mm-hmm. is beautiful. So yeah, that's exciting. And there's a few restaurants that have some really good lobster bisque, which is my favorite.
What about you?
I take more suggestions as well.
Right, right.
I haven't I haven't been able to go out and enjoy the city as much, but I did stumble on to Buttermilk and Bourbon, this mm-hmm. restaurant. Oh, I can't wait to go back. It was I was out. I thought this is actually pretty good. So found some good food places so far, but look forward to the weather breaking so that I can go out and enjoy the city a little bit more.
End of winter, end of pandemic. Yes. I think we can end on that hopeful note. And I want to thank everyone again, especially our guests, Jennifer and Samira. Stop by and see them, ask them more questions. I'm sure that this has prompted a lot of ideas, a lot of things you may want to discuss and unpack further. So thank you for listening. I hope you're finding this to be a useful platform to learn more, not only about the Advancement Division, but most especially your colleagues and those who have joined us when we can't all be together and just hang out and socialize all the time. So this has been fun, and hope you will come and join me again.
Thank you.